welcome to another episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori, from Demimonde Paranormal, a Facebook group that specializes in all things paranormal. For tonight's episode, we will be exploring ghost stories and hauntings, famous hauntings shared by famous people in the music world, specifically the rock and roll world. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, making a special appearance in our list of people who have experienced ghostly activity or they have seen a ghost, includes Bret Michaels, Alice Cooper, Corey Taylor, in such bands as My Chemical Romance, Killswitch Engage, and also in this episode, we will be talking about the ghost of Kurt Cobain, the late singer of the very famous grunge band Nirvana, and also we will be talking about the supposed ghost of Jim Morrison, also the late singer of the 1960s group The Doors. So stay tuned as we dive in deep to these spooky experiences that these people have came to know. Alright, so let's get started. So, welcome everyone to Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. So let me begin by asking you guys a question. If you were married to a very famous rock star, and that said rock star had tragically killed themselves, and they paid a visit to you from beyond the grave, but all they had to say to you was a simple, "Hi," how would you react? Well, the reason why I'm asking that is because Courtney Love, who is the front woman from another 90s group named Hole, claims that she was visited by her husband, Kurt Cobain, and all he had to say to her while his ghost sat in a chair was simply, "Hi." Now, me personally, I don't know how I would take that. I mean, I feel like it'd be quite comforting, but also strangely simple. Of course, if you watch a couple documentaries about Kurt Cobain, and maybe a few music documentaries about Nirvana and themselves, it may not come as such a surprise that all he had to say to her was, "Hi." He was just visiting. But I don't know. What do you guys think? So, let me tell you a little bit more of that story of the ghost of Kurt Cobain. So, when asked by Joshua Boone if Courtney Love has ever seen a ghost, she responded and said, "When I moved to Hancock Park from Seattle with Francis and Edward," and she was referring to Edward Norton, who was her boyfriend at the time, she claims that she saw the ghost of Kurt Cobain in a chair for a moment, and he said hi to her, and then he left. Courtney Love also admitted that she will probably never get over Kurt Cobain's passing, despite thinking a couple of times she would overcome his grief of his death, only for it to return a few years later. So perhaps Kurt Cobain's short and sweet visitation to Courtney was a bit of comfort to her. Now, whether you believe that story or not, regarding Courtney Love and herself, it's up to you, because I know she has a tendency to be quite the ham and quite, you know, she makes a fool out of herself, and she's not really known to be very nice. But whether you believe her story or not is up to you, but I've got to say, it's definitely possible. But that's not the end of Kurt Cobain's ghost. Apparently, his spirit still wanders his home where he killed himself, tragically, in 1994. Now, apparently, when the house where Kurt Cobain committed suicide went on the market, it had a bit of trouble finding a buyer due to reports of Kurt Cobain's ghost, which was haunting the home. And apparently, these supernatural claims are all due to Courtney Love claiming that she had seen his ghost in this home as well. Now, naturally, people are afraid of buying the house because this is the home where Kurt had killed himself, and there are claims that people have seen his spirit, and naturally, when people hear of somebody dying in their own home, they automatically assume that it's haunted by that spirit. However, I must confess that other people that have ventured into the home have not experienced any supernatural paranormal activity, except for Courtney Love. But I mean, I still leave the open-ended question, could Kurt Cobain's spirit just be entirely visiting Courtney Love? I mean, is it possible? Maybe only she can see his spirit because they were married. And furthermore, I just want to add a strange little tidbit about an English Nirvana fan who claimed to have had an encounter with the spirit of Kurt Cobain through a computer in the year 2000. Now, the supposed spirit of Kurt said something along the lines of hello or good morning through the computer, and that was it. I mean, I'm not so sure of that claim, but if it was the ghost of Kurt Cobain, his spirit is definitely a friendly one. Our next topic is somebody who we've all heard stories about. Our next ghost rock star is the ever so famous and infamous Jim Morrison, the late frontman of the 60s band The Doors. Now, this story that I'm about to tell you guys is a bit weird and it's a bit fantastical. But you guys, listen to this story, if you will, and you let me know down in the comments what you think. What's your takeaway of this tale? Now, this story has to deal with a lady named Rhonda Barron, who claims that the Doors frontman climbed into bed with her. Now guys, listen to this. Now, Rhonda was from Arlington, North Virginia, and she claims that the ghost of Jim Morrison lives in her house and regularly gets into bed with her. Rhonda lives in a house on 28th Street in Arlington, which Jim Morrison also lived in as a child. She claimed that the singer's ghost visits her quite regularly, telling that she was lying in bed one night and she felt the spirit lie down next to her. And she felt the spirit lie beside her on his back, and it turned and looked at her. It was like a haze, and she could look right through it. Now, Rhonda also added that she believed that Jim Morrison's ghost haunted her room because he was an unhappy soul, and he was looking for somewhere where he was happy as a child. And for those of us who don't know, Jim Morrison died in 1971 in Paris, France, of a supposedly reported drug overdose, but many believe that he faked his own death. And we're going to be talking about the infamous Jim Morrison about one more time during this podcast, so his spirit is quite busy in this episode. And before we move on to the next spooky rock and roll ghost story, I just want to take a minute to ask you guys, all my listeners, how you guys are doing. I hope you guys are doing really great, and I hope these summer months in the summer weather are treating you well, filling you lots with lots of hope and joy, and you are spending this time with friends and family and filling your life with positivity and laughter and all that good stuff, and tuning into Demimond Paranormal for all-time spooky fun. But with that being said, let's move on to our next creepy ghost tale. Our next story is from King Diamond. So, a little backstory on our next ghost story. Our next tale comes from the Danish heavy metal musician King Diamond, who was a member of the heavy metal band Merciful Fate. Merciful Fate was a Danish heavy metal band from Copenhagen, which formed in 1981. So let's get on to the spooky ghost story. Now, according to King Diamond himself, he says his apartment was extremely haunted. And to quote King Diamond, when I say, "I had a small apartment and it was up on the top floor and it was super haunted. I lived there for quite a few years and lots of people have experienced stuff up there. It's not just like when you got drunk, it would happen at any time. But that specific night, Timmy was with his girl that he had met in California. He didn't tell her that he had a girlfriend in Denmark, so when she came up to visit, she couldn't stay with Timmy, so she stayed at my apartment. I slept on my couch in my living room, and she slept in the bedroom. Timmy came over, and he was sitting with that girl on the couch in the living room, and there were bottles all over the coffee table. I had a foosball table in my bedroom, and Lars, James, and I were playing it. And just a full disclaimer, by who he's referring to as Lars and James, it's Lars Ulrich and James Hetfield from Metallica. Just so you guys know. But anyway, back to the story. While we were playing foosball, I heard this kabong sound, like things were being thrown around. It sounded like Timmy had been trying to get up and was so drunk he fell over the table with the bottles that flew everywhere. So I opened the door and said, "What the hell are you doing?" And as I was looking straight over to him on the couch, he was sitting there with his girl, who's whiter than a sheet. I asked them, "What's going on, man? What's going on in here?" Then I looked to the left of me, right in the corner where I had an altar with all kinds of things on it. Everything from the altar just spread all over the floor. I said, "It's okay. It's them. Just don't worry. Everything's fine. I'll pick it up. Just continue whatever you're doing." I started picking up all the stuff and putting it back to where it belongs. An hour or so later, that girl, her name was Anita, went to the bathroom, and she was in there for 20 minutes. I finally went out there to see if she was okay. I heard her crying in there. I asked her, "What's going on? Are you alright? What's going on?" She says, I can't get out. Something's growling at me, and I can't get out. The door's stuck. I tried the handle, and it just opened. I walked in there, and she told me again that there was something growling at her. We got out of there. I bet James and Lars will never forget things flying off the shelves that night. So now, when asked about if he still had the apartment, King Diamond explained that it was rented, but back in 2006, he went back there, and he felt like it was part of The Exorcist when the priest is standing in front of the house in that famous scene, and he's looking up at the house. It felt like that, and he said as he was standing there looking up at the windows, he felt like asking, "Are you still up there? All you guys up there?" He asked that to the spirits. So, moving on to our next guest of honor, who is Alice Cooper. Now, Alice Cooper's ghost story takes place in 1983, when he himself and Aerosmith's guitarist Joe Perry decided to collaborate and write some new music for a movie. So Alice's manager set him up with a home that was all the way up in upstate New York, and it was this quaint little old house in the middle of a farm country. And Alice recalls that while he was putting his clothes away when he just got to the home, he left the room and came back, and the closet door was closed. The drawer which he was unpacking was closed, and he didn't remember closing that drawer. The house was so full of whatever that the second night that we were there, they were sitting there and eating dinner, and it sounded like somebody was moving furniture in the basement. It was making so much noise, like it wasn't even trying to be subtle. And Alice Cooper even shared his experience with Joe Perry himself, who also had similar experiences since entering the house. Alice Cooper says that they ran out of that place, and he later found out that the guy who wrote the Amityville Horror, he wrote that story while in that house. So, you guys remember how I said that Jim Morrison will be returning in this list of spooky ghost stories? Well, he's back. And this time he's returning to his old bandmates in their dreams. Ray Manzarek related a story in which he and his fellow bandmates bought Robbie Krieger had been visited by Jim Morrison in the same dream by Jim himself. Now, in a recurring dream in which Jim had returned from France, the same country as which he died, and he had accomplished what he went out there to do in the first place, which was to apparently get rest, get clean, and change his rock star lifestyle. He and Ray Manzarek talk about what he's been doing and how he's been doing. And Ray would ask him if he's been working on any new material. And just before Jim goes to answer Ray, Ray Manzarek adds that he would wake up. And when he would relay this story to one of his bandmates named Robbie, Robbie would say, "Yeah, I had the same dream." Also, a photographer claimed to have captured the spirit of Jim Morrison in an image. Rock historian Brent Meisner revealed that in 1997, while stopping at the Pearly Chase Cemetery in Paris, he had taken a photograph of the grave of Jim Morrison. 5 years later, come across a photo of the hair that had appeared to be a chilling image in the shot that looks to be the singer himself. And Meisner told thousands of people that while visiting the grave, nobody had captured this strange image. Now Meisner has even sent the photo for negative extensive analysis, but so far no one has been able to explain the image that was captured. A trick of light was ruled out, and image manipulation appears unlikely. The historian believes that he is cursed by revealing the image, stating that his marriage broke down and he lost a close friend to a drug overdose soon after. Now to quote this rock historian by saying, "Part of me wishes that I have never stopped out front of the graveyard in the first place. I'm partly to blame for talking about it in the first place. I should have kept it to myself." Now, don't you guys think it's interesting that ever since Brett Meisner had captured that image of supposedly Jim Morrison's ghost, don't you think that it was interesting that he lost a close friend to a drug overdose and Jim Morrison had died from a supposed drug overdose? Very interesting. Our next spooky tale comes from Brett Michaels, but this next tale isn't really spooky, it's more heartwarming. And this tale has to do with crossing paths with an apparition that he believed to be his late grandmother. Now, Brett Michaels has even come out and said that he is not a person that every time he would hear a cackle or a crackle or a sound in an attic, he doesn't immediately say it's a ghost. However, since that time, he absolutely believes that he has for sure seen an apparition. Now, Brett Michaels recalls that when he was only 17, he recalls spotting a strange light in the basement and he went to investigate. Now, during this time, he was dealing with his parents' divorce, his own health issues, as some of you guys may know, Brett Michaels is a diabetic. And he was also dealing with the death of his grandmother. Now, Brett took it as a sign that this was his grandmother. It scared the hell out of him. But when I think back about it, to quote, it motivated Brett Michaels to let him know that his life was worth hanging out with these friends. But it was not going anywhere. I needed a sign, to quote him. Brett says that this was not only his first paranormal experience either. His grandmothers also visited him on the deck of his Malibu home with a congratulatory message and some family love. Our next haunting tale comes from My Chemical Romance. Now, strange occurrences started happening while recording the Black Parade at the notoriously haunted mansion known as the Paramore. While there, the band noticed slamming doors and opening doors of their own volition in a serious atmosphere. That always seemed to inhabit their surroundings. Even singer Gerard Way experienced night terrors, and his brother, the bassist Mikey Way, eventually vacated the premises of the mansion. And Mikey even lived in the most haunted room of the mansion, and he slept on Gerard's floor. The entire band left the mansion before their scheduled time, but a curse seemed to follow them. During the filming of the famous Last Words video, Frank Iero jumped on Gerard Way during the filming of the music video, causing Gerard's ligaments in his ankle to tear. Meanwhile, the drummer Bob Breyer's leg caught on fire during one take, and he had even suffered second and third degree burns that eventually became infected, causing gangrene. Bob would also injure his wrist on tour, and members of the band and crew got food poisoning, causing the cancellation of 6 shows, and Iero also had to leave the tour due to illnesses. Our next tale comes from Tony Iommi. Now, Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath recalled their sessions at Clerwell Castle in Wales, explaining that the band spotted a very special visitor one night. To quote Tony, when I say, "We rehearsed in the armorary there one night, and I was walking down the corridor with Ozzy when we saw this figure in a black cloak. I said, 'Who's that?' And Ozzy said, 'I don't know.' We followed this figure into the armorary and there was absolutely no one there. However, it had disappeared into thin air." Tony also says that the people who owned the castle were well aware of the ghost, which was a surprise to the band. They did have some fun with their encounter, however. To quote Tony, when I say, "We spent the rest of the time trying to frighten each other by ringing up all these devices. In the end, we were all petrified, and we had to drive home every night rather than stay there. That defeated the object of it all." But we are not done with Black Sabbath. According to the bassist of Black Sabbath, Geezer Butler, he revealed that his fascination with Satan once took a very terrifying turn when he was tempted to dig a bit further. Now, Geezer recalls that he had been reading a weekly magazine called Man, Myth, and Magic that delved into the topic of Satan. He was also reading books by Aleister Crowley and Detmers Wheatley, and he had really started to immerse himself in the ideas of Satanism. Now, to quote Geezer, when I say, "I'd moved into this flat that I painted black with inverted crosses everywhere." And not to interrupt the story from Geezer, of course, but it's never a good idea to paint inverted crosses all over your apartment. I mean, I'm sorry, I just feel like he was asking for something creepy to happen. But anyway, as he recalls, "Ozzy gave me this 16th century book about magic that he had stolen from somewhere. I put it in the airing cupboard because I wasn't sure about it. Later that night, I woke up and saw this black shadow at the end of the bed. It was a terrible presence that frightened the life out of me. I ran to the airing cupboard and threw the book out, but the book had disappeared. After that, I gave up all that stuff. It scared me shitless." I imagine so. Our next spot on this list of rock and roll ghost tales actually has to do with a very famous hotel. It's called the Chelsea Hotel. And if you guys know anything about Sid and Nancy, Sid Vicious, more specifically, and Nancy Spungen. Now, basically, if you guys don't know, Sid Vicious was the bassist for the band The Sex Pistols, and Nancy Spungen was his girlfriend, and they had quite the tumultuous relationship. Even Sid was blamed for the death of his girlfriend, which happened inside the infamous Chelsea Hotel. But however, guests inside the Chelsea Hotel have for years reported seeing sightings of Sid Vicious in both the hotel room where Nancy Spungen had died and also in the hotel's elevator. Others have spotted the musician himself opening and closing doors, while guests in room 100 have reported hearing a couple arguing and someone playing loud music, and even some have reported experiencing temperature changes occurring. Our next story takes place while recording Marilyn Manson's album Holy Wood in the famous Harry Houdini house. Now, that mansion does have spooky history, but while Twiggy Ramirez and John 5 retell their experiences while recording Marilyn Manson's album, it's sure to give you chills. Now, to quote Twiggy Ramirez, when I say, "I spent the night there once, in the Harry Houdini house. And in the morning, I heard people downstairs. I heard someone playing the piano. I thought the crew had arrived. I figured it must have been Bon Harris, one of the engineers, who used to be in the band, Net Zero Ebb, playing the piano. I got up and there was no one down there. 10 minutes later, Bon showed up and I asked him if he was playing the piano. He said, 'What are you talking about? I just got here. I don't know if he was pulling my leg or someone or some dead babies were playing the piano.'" And even John 5 shared a story that was a little bit more convincing. And to quote John 5, I'll stay. "One time our co-producer, Dave Sardi, was in the kitchen and he was walking back into the living room. There were curtains separating the two rooms. He bumped into somebody behind the curtains, saying, 'Oh, gee, sorry.' But when he opened the curtains, there was no one there. So there was something going on in that house. There were so many rooms. Nobody in their right mind would want to stay there overnight." So, have you guys heard any haunted rock star stories that you guys want to share? Leave some down in the comments. I'd love to hear them. But our next band to tell a spooky tale is Killswitch Engage. Now, Killswitch Engage had their own haunted recording story that took place during the sessions for their album The End of Heartache at the Zing Recording Studios in Westfield, Massachusetts, when guitarist and producer Adam Dutkiewicz told Revolver that during this time he experienced some creepy encounters with the studio manager's deceased father. And to quote Adam, I say, "One night, he had a seance to talk to his father because he and his dad still has some unsettled business. He thinks ever since then his father's ghost won't leave. It's really weird." And Adam even reported seeing crazy lights and floating orbs while the sessions during The End of Heartache. And while drummer Justin spotted shadows doing things that shadows don't normally do. However, Joe may have heard the creepiest experience He felt someone brush up against his arm and heard someone walk through the room that he was napping in, only to wake up and find that no one was there. It really creeps you out. And the taste of resistance. Now, this next story has to do with who was on the front. Well, not even the front cover. Who was on our little meme, if you will, advertising our new episode for Demimonde Paranormal. This next story is from Slipknot. And this next story has to do with what they experienced while recording at the Houdini Mansion in Hollywood. Now, as Corey Taylor reveals in his book, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Heaven, which is a book where he tells many tales of his many ghost experiences. In this particular tale, he recalls taking a shower, and to quote him when I say, "I was alone in our room. The door to our room was shut and locked. The doors to the balcony were shut and locked, but the door to the bathroom was wide open. I was taking a shower and getting ready to hit the town with a vengeance. I was in a great mood, singing along with the Bee Gees and washing all my filthy bits that needed immediate attention." He says, as he certainly sets the scene. But then, the shower curtain opened a smidge, and I could see the room from my vantage point. I looked up, and a man in a tuxedo walked right past the open door, staring right at me. And even the late drummer Jody Jordanson had also revealed that he felt a ghostly form pass through him in the basement and reported his door swinging open at the same time, which was 9:30 every morning. And our last story for the night also comes from Corey Taylor as well. And this tale also was recalled in his book, A Funny Thing Happened to Me on the Way to Heaven. No, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Heaven. Excuse me. Now, this tale is revealed as one of his earliest experiences with the paranormal, as he and some fellow neighborhood kids explored a nearby abandoned house, which was called the Cold House. It was one of those places where you dare your friends to enter. You know, a house like that. Everybody has a house that was supposedly haunted, that was at the end of some street, you know, the ones I'm talking about. I had quite a few in my neighborhood, actually. But anyway, to begin the story, I quote them. They ventured into the house. We were all standing on the first floor of the house. It was two stories, and this thing came down the stairs at us. It was the silhouette of a man that was kind of backlit in a way of its own energy. It came down the stairs at us. We flipped out, killing ourselves running from the house. My leg went through the rotted wood on the front porch, and I still have a scar on my shin from it. And that brings us to the end of our rock and roll, spooky, terrifying, and creepy ghost stories. I hope you guys liked that, and I'll see you guys in the outro. And I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And let me know down in the comments what was your favorite rock star ghost story. And if you have any ghost stories of your own, please feel free to share them. I would love to hear them. And also, don't be shy to share your tales with the Demimonde Paranormal podcast to be featured on an episode. You can either write it in to Demimonde Paranormal, or you can message me personally if you would like your story to be shared, or even if you want to tell your story personally, message me and you can have a guest spot on Demimonde Paranormal. So with that being said, I wish you guys a good night, and I hope you guys stay kind to one another, be safe, make good choices, and I will see you again real soon. And as always, stay spooky.